All right, let's introduce ourselves. As soon as I say let's introduce ourselves, don't, like, flop backwards.
I do kind of freak out because my latent libertarianism kicks in and I'm like, I'm not identifying myself to you. That is my first thought every time you say let's introduce myself. I'm like, I do not have to identify myself to you.
I'm here. Some of us might be queer, but yeah. I will not identify
by
myself
God,
to you.
I do not have to identify myself in this country.
I'm just traveling.
My name is unimportant. You're listening to First Chapters, a podcast from Grey Cat Books, with your hosts, Engineer Mike and Nina McNamara. Ever wanted to know if the first few pages of a book were good enough to continue reading? Will a book be engaging enough, or will it bore you to death? Then keep listening. The plot thickens.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to First Chapters. My name is Nina McNamara, and sitting with me, I have...
Engineer Mike. Ha, I got my cue that time.
There you go. I had to nod and raise my eyebrows at you.
Like, I was like, time to talk.
Do you remember who you are?
Yes.
Okay. Today, we're reading a favorite of Engineer Mike's.
Yes, probably. I say this about a lot of books. Last time we did Accelerando, which might have been my favorite book of the past 20 years. Under the Skin is also in the top two or three.
Under the Skin by, is it Michelle Faber or Michael
good
Faber?
Question. I say Michael Farber. I think it was released in the UK at first, so maybe British. But if he is French, I'm not going to hold that against him, is what I'm trying to say.
And we have also seen the movie on which this is based.
Other way around.
Oh.
The movie is based on the book. The book came out like 13 years.
We've seen the movie that came out after this. That was inspired by this book. Okay, there we go. Directed by Jonathan Glazer. And this is pretty timely because Jonathan Glazer's most recent film, The Zone of Interest, has been nominated for an Oscar.
Several Oscars.
One of them being Best Picture.
Yeah, and he does not make a lot of movies. I think he's really only made three very big ones, including The Zone of Interest and Under the Skin, over the past 20 plus years. Chooses his movies very carefully.
And it's going to be tricky to talk about this book because I know what happens, kind of.
I will tell you in advance, if you've only seen the movie fully, you do not know what happened in the book.
I have a general idea what's happening. I know that the movie goes a different route than the
movie differs greatly from the book.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw it described as a loose adaptation. That is very true. It is a loose adaptation. The movie gets the feel of certain greater... themes of the book, but the book explores lots of things that the movie doesn't get into at all.
Understood. But before we get into that, Engineer Mike, do you want to tell me what you are reading?
I am reading a book also related to a movie that was given to me for Christmas that I have just been absorbing the information. I've called A Masterpiece in Disarray. It's about the 1984 David Lynch's Dune movie. And
it's an oral history.
Yeah, it's an oral history, which I actually love reading oral histories. I love how authentic they are because oral histories is a type of writing style that uses firsthand accounts from people who are most importantly willing to go on the record with their own names. So it's none of this like the secret anonymous source said blah, 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 which is bullshit as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
These are real people with their real names who want to go on the record about what happened. And these types of books are just fascinating. Absolutely fascinating too. If you've ever seen the 1984 Dune, most people have at least once, you may have noticed it wasn't great. And there's a lot of reasons why it didn't turn out great that honestly, this book here is 600 pages thick and it could have been twice as big in my opinion and still maybe have finally told the full story about it. It is a long tale of what went wrong on the making of that movie and a few things that went right. I have just been loving every moment of it.
It even looks good. Like the book aesthetically looks really good. The pages are red.
Yep. Yeah.
Not the pages, but the edges of the pages are red. So when you close it, it looks like
foil.
A red.
Yeah.
Book.
You know, we hear Grey Cat Books are big ebook proponents, but we don't hate cardboard and paper books. And I have to admit the hardcover version of this that someone got me for Christmas. Hardcover books are really good Christmas presents. It is just a beautiful book. Like Nina says, red.
And your mic is opening and closing it, turning it in his hands right now.
It's like a red gold exterior, the color of the pages. The binding is big and thick. There's full color pictures inside of it. Black and white.
Pictures. These are black and white, yeah.
But there's still, it's very, very wonderful book. Tells probably everything there is to tell, everything that can be told about what went wrong with the making of that movie. Mm-hmm. And I'd recommend it in any form you want to buy it in.
Absolutely.
So what are you reading?
This is a first for me. I took a recommendation that you had.
Huh.
And I read the first book in the Murderbot series.
Interesting. We were just talking about that.
Exactly. Cool. On the last podcast, you mentioned Martha Wells, and the first book was All Systems Red.
All Systems Red, it's called. Very small book, called a novella.
Like a novella, yeah. They're very small or very short. Partly what also inspired that is I heard that the book series
well, being I turned... told you. Yeah,
okay. I heard you told me.
The series is being turned into a TV show featuring one Alexander Skarsgård, mm-hmm. who is a favorite of Nina's. Mm. And I said, Nina, you're going to be watching this show. Mm. I already know it. So you may want to read at least one or two of these novellas to kind of get get a feel for the character.
Oh, definitely for the character, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing that the Skarsgård in question is playing the Murderbot.
I think he's playing the eponymous Murderbot, yes.
Yeah. And the Murderbot doesn't have a name, really.
Nope. Does not have a name. Yeah. Murderbot is like their... Actually, I shouldn't say there because the Murderbot does not have pronouns. It's Murderbot goes by it. Its internal name is Murderbot, what it calls itself. Others just call it SecUnit because that's what its like designation is. The next book that you read, if you're going to read the next novella in the series, it does kind of adopt a name for a brief amount of time just to kind of blend in. But it's not like, here's where I started adopting a name. No, it's just I did this so I could blend into one situation and I dropped that and I don't care about that.
Yeah. What I like about it is the lack of emotion.
Murderbot is not human.
You sold this to me as it was funny. I'll say, yeah, it's amusing, but it's not comedy. There's no
it's not Terry Pratchett.
It's not Terry Pratchett at all. So if you're going into this thinking, though, this series is going to be funny, at least this first book, All Systems Red, I didn't find it funny.
No.
I found it humorous in the lack of emotion, but I didn't think that the Murderbot had lack of empathy. Like, there was some empathy, like programmed empathy. Mm-hmm. Like, he cared about the humans because that was his
programming.
That was its programming. Yeah. I actually liked the way it was written.
Oh yeah,
there was a mystery behind it. Mm-hmm. It was like a little mystery novella.
Yeah.
That you had to go along for the ride. It was just fun and exciting, a fun little adventure novella that you didn't have to spend a lot of time. Like, you don't have to devote a lot of time to it.
Yeah, that's why I definitely suggest that it's novella length, so I'm not giving you this thick tome, because I really, you can buy me as many books as you want to, buy Engineer Mike all the books, but like, I tend not to get books for people as presents, because I've heard it described as it's a chore you're giving someone. Hey, here's this big, huge book.
Disagree.
Now you have to read it.
Fully disagree with
that. I've heard this from some people. Some people do feel like
completely disagree with that. I don't know who made up that.
People who hate reading.
Probably. Mm-hmm. The rest of the Murderbot series I've got on my Kindle. Is this a Kindle? No, this is a Kobo reader. Kobo. Sorry. No. I meant Kindle as in like, you know, a box of Kleenex.
No, that's wrong. Do not give Amazon that power. It is an e-reader. And your particular e-reader is from the Kobo company.
My e-reader.
Yeah. E-reader. Yeah.
And also, if you have an Audible Plus account, they are all on there. You can listen to the books on Audible Plus
for or regular Audible.
Yeah. I'm starting to try to get into audiobooks now. Should we talk about this book? This Under the Skin?
Yeah, so the book we're talking about today is called Under the Skin by Michael Faber. It was released in
2000,
so quite a while ago.
Yep, so this book is 24 years old now.
It's probably one of my favorite books I've read of the past 20 years. I haven't read it again, like Accelerando, the last book we talked about, because reading Under the Skin to me was like a slow revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're never going to read it again the same way as you do your first time. The slow reveal of what's going on in this book. It's not a twist. It's not like you read it all and then all of a sudden, boom, twist. Oh, no. No, it's a slow, steady reveal. And it is just chilling what is going on in this book. I will never be able to experience that again. So I've never read it again since then. But definitely one of my top three books.
That's interesting you put that slow reveal, because the way that the author plays his hand is very deliberate.
Interesting. What do you mean by play their...
You don't really... know too much about the main character, Isserly.
Nope. No, you do not.
It's written from third person. Mm-hmm. Mostly it's third person limited, meaning you only know much from mm-hmm. her perspective, except in a couple of instances, which I'll get into.
Okay.
And then by chapter three, which I read three chapters.
Nice. I was going to ask how much you read.
No. By chapter three, then you start getting a lot more information, and it's very telling.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I was cooped up in my office for a long time reading this.
Saying true. Yeah.
And actually, I really, really enjoyed this book.
I had a feeling you might.
I did. And in fact, I liked it so much, I forgot to take notes until the end of chapter two. And I was like, I really got to scribble down my thoughts. And then I got through chapter three and I added more notes to it.
Please keep reading it.
This is a book I'll probably continue reading, not to skip right to our questions. But yeah, I'll probably continue reading this book some more.
No, I love the way the slow reveal of information, where it's like each chapter that comes, you learn a little bit more about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the earlier chapters don't feel deficient because you don't have all the information.
No.
Like you say, the way the author deals their hand is just incredible.
Yeah. In so let's talk a little bit about the plot. You go first and then I'll fill in.
The plot, and I have to be real careful with this book. I do not want to spoil anything in this book.
Start with the main character, Isserly.
The main character is a character called Isserly. She, by all accounts, lives in Scotland.
This is a
book. Very Scottish book. There's a lot of open fields and just roads and...
A lot of talk of the sea.
Talk of the sea and a lot of vast expanses of not much. And all you know is that Isserly drives around.
She drives up and down the A9.
Yep. She drives up and down the A9. It's a big road in Scotland. She picks up hitchhikers. She brings them somewhere. And you don't know where.
She takes them to the farm. That's revealed in chapter one.
What happens there? You don't know.
No.
Why is she doing it? You don't know.
You don't know the purpose for that.
Yeah. And then slowly over time, you do learn the purpose of what's going on. And it just, I try not to use this word scarier, but it gets scarier and scarier and scarier every single chapter.
That's not revealed in the first three chapters that I read so far.
Definitely
so
not.
I
won't spoil it for you either. Yeah.
So I'll just talk a little bit about what I've learned about Isserly and then the process of her picking up the hitchhikers. So Isserly, to describe her physically, what you know first about her is that she's got great breasts. She got great tits. And that's important.
That is important.
She uses them to pick up hitchhikers, really. Yep. So she picks up these hitchhikers and she kind of displays them. A lot of cleavage.
Yeah.
So she gets the hitchhiker's attention. She gets them to look at her chest. But the rest of her is kind of weird looking. It cuts to the other hitchhiker's point of view. She takes off her scarf or she unzips her coat. The descriptor is she puts her breasts on display and then immediately cuts to the hitchhiker's point of view.
Yeah.
And the hitchhikers, they say, oh, she's got great tits or she's got great cleavage. But and then it will say something about her hands. Her hands are really long and thin and weird looking.
Yeah.
And her face is obscured by these giant thick glasses.
Yeah.
She's got bad posture. Mm-hmm. Like there's something weird going on with her back.
She's hunched over
and she's a bit of a mouth breather. She's panting a lot. Girl, same. I'm a bit of a mouth breather too, I understand. And she's also in constant pain. That's kind of revealed in chapter three, that she's in a lot of pain. She has to do these exercises every single day to help her get through this pain that she's in.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know why. But yeah, she drives up and down the A9 looking for these hitchhikers. She's looking for big, burly men.
Yep.
And you don't know why. Big, muscular, burly men.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to make sure they don't have any wife or kids, no attachments.
Yep. So she kind of has a big conversation with them after she picks them up.
Yeah. That's kind of in the movie, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the movie which stars Scarlett Johansson, which we'll tell you, that's Scarlett Johansson's best role to date. Everyone thinks of Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow. You want to see good acting.
No. Movie. This is a terribly underappreciated movie, especially for Scarlett Johansson. Like you say, it's probably her best role ever.
Yeah, but she picks up these men. She gives them kind of like a friendly interview, a back and forth.
Yeah.
If they pass her requirements, she drugs them.
Yep.
The passenger seat
has a needle in it.
Has like needles or something in it.
Yeah.
I didn't catch this at first. I thought it was just Scottish slang.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it's something called ikpathua.
Yeah, don't look that up. Any prospective readers, if you're reading the book, do not Google the words you find in the book because you will have the story spoiled for you. Take it as it comes.
All right. There's a couple of times I was just confused. I thought it was Scottish slang.
Oh, there's a thing, as Nina's saying, there's language you're constantly being confronted with in the book that it'll be English, 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 and then some weird word that you're like, what the heck is that? and it's not explained what it is.
Okay. And assume it's Scottish slang.
You can assume it's Scottish, but it's not Scottish. It's another language entirely.
Okay, so there's another word that I came across I thought was also slang. It started with a V.
Is it Vodsel?
Yeah.
Is that what Isserli calls the people she picks up? Yeah, she calls them Vodsels. That's very interesting, is that Isserli, whatever she is, not really a spoiler, let's say she's not human. She calls what we would call humans, she calls them something else.
Okay. But anyway, after they're drugged, they fall asleep, they fall unconscious. She kind of dresses them up. Like, she gives them a wig and maybe new clothes, or which I thought was kind of weird. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
But then she takes them back to the farm.
To the farm.
All right. And then you don't know what happens after that.
Nope. It just cuts away.
So in the first two chapters, she picks up three hitchhikers, I think. The first one, everything goes pretty much according to plan. Mm-hmm. But she almost lets him go until he reveals that he's divorced and he has not seen his kids in a long time. Yeah. He's really not going to. He's kind of a deadbeat dad.
Yeah.
And so she drugs him and takes him back. The second hitchhiker, he's kind of like this boorish fisherman, but he reveals that he's got an adult son. Mm. And so she doesn't drug him, but she gets his son's business card.
Ah, yeah.
So I'm like, oh, is that foreshadowing or not?
Hmm.
And then the third hitchhiker she picks up is this German student who is kind of like wandering around the UK.
Backpackers, yeah. Backpackers. Still missing all the time.
Exactly. So this guy immediately is drugged and taken back. One thing to point out is that she has screwed up before.
Mm-hmm.
She screwed up this whole process before, and it's made her very careful and very nervous.
Yeah.
She's lost her car. You know, she had a prized Nissan. It's been chopped up. Now she's got a crappy Corolla.
Yeah.
Now she's hyper aware and hypersensitive to not drugging the wrong person.
Yeah, you get the impression she is not just picking up any random hitchhiker doing this to. It is a very specific type that has to meet all these credentials. And I got the impression that there's a ton of people she picks up that just get released.
Yeah.
And she just lets them off wherever they're going. And it's only very rarely does she actually do this.
Right. And she does this every single day.
Yeah,
too.
That's her job.
Yeah, this is her job.
Yeah. 7 days a week.
Yeah. In the third chapter, it's her on the farm.
Ah. So you actually get to see some life on the farm.
You do. You get to see what life is like on the farm. And she lives in a cottage, a very austere...
Did you get kind of the impression it was like almost abandoned?
Yeah, it felt like she didn't have any running water, no electricity, no heat in her cottage.
Yep.
There's two other people to point out that live on this farm. There's one guy named Ensel, who I think he like runs this. He takes the bodies out of the car for her. So we're not really sure what he does with the bodies. I'm guessing it's pretty nefarious. You just kind of have this feeling.
You'll have to see.
And there's this other person, this other guy named Eswiss.
Their names are weird.
Their names are weird.
Yeah.
They almost sound Scottish, but...
Yeah, but I don't think they are. I don't think they are. Yeah, let's say it's a different
A lot of S's.
Yeah.
Eswiss lives in the big house, meaning that's the one with all the heat and the water and the furniture. There's no furniture in Isserli's house. She doesn't need it.
Yeah.
I guess. And she also points out that Eswiss has been through what she has been through. And you're wondering, what does that mean? And then it immediately describes Isserli's body.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it?
It's horrifying.
Yes.
She describes her body as she's getting into the shower. And as she's getting into the shower, this is where you realize that Isserli and her her kin, her kith and kin, are not human.
They are not human, no.
No.
Well, not what we would call human. I believe they call themselves human.
Because she talks about she could have had another job in the, quote, new estates.
Yeah.
And she said her life in the new estates would have been awful. Like, she would have been buried there. She would have basically died.
Yeah.
But she chose this job that she's currently in, but it cost her her body.
Yes.
And her body now is so altered and broken from what it used to be. And the way she describes it, she has, like, stubble on her back. Her feet are long and almost, I don't want to say cloven, but she's almost describing...
What's the word for wool? Not leptine. Lupine?
Lupine.
Lupine.
And then she says she wrings out her clothes with her claws. So that she is a beast. And then she describes... that the cost of this job wasn't just that she had to do these things, but now she has to walk upright.
Yeah.
So,
which she did not do before this.
No. So she was a quadruped beforehand. Now she's a biped. And this is really horrifying.
I love this book.
Yeah.
Trust me, if you keep reading it, it is amazing, the reveal in this book.
Yeah, and you get to this part, and like I was saying about how it's a slow description, like, oh my God.
You're just going, what the fuck? fuck am I? Yeah. What the fuck is going on?
Because up until then, you don't know. You think that she's human. Yeah. She may be a little weird.
And she's weird looking.
Her community, they might be foreigners because there's discussion in the book where she's talking to hitchhikers about. There's one hitchhiker that says she might be a foreigner. Mm-hmm. She talks about having trouble with the English or the language. She says, I've never been that good of a linguist. Mm-hmm. So you know that she's not from there.
Yeah.
But you don't realize that, no, she's not from this planet.
Don't be so sure about that. Let's just say she's not a human.
Mm-hmm.
What we would call a human.
Yeah.
What we would call a human. And whether or not she's from Earth or not, I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell you a little bit more when I tell my thoughts on the book, too. There's a lot of theories about the book that I've got my own different theories.
Yeah. And I think about the movie, which if you haven't seen the movie, I'm going to kind of spoil it a little bit. You really don't know anything that's going on in the movie at all.
No.
Like, I mean, this is a movie that doesn't just play its cards close to the chest.
Yeah.
It plays without cards at all.
No.
Like, you are...
It is all atmosphere.
Yeah, it's a vibes movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You are watching Scarlett Johansson wander around Glasgow, picking up dudes, and then dropping them off, and...
Something happens.
Yeah, she's kind of wandering around in the woods, and then there's a guy on a motorbike following her around. You do not know what's going on. You just have to kind of watch.
Yeah, roll with it.
And the scenes that when something does happen... Mm-hmm. It's really disturbing.
Oh, yeah.
Made so because you don't know what's going on. You're like, I don't know what's going on. Everything is so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Yeah. I love that feeling, whatever that feeling is.
There's a scene toward the end of the movie where it's revealed that she's not human.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay. So that makes more sense. But I still have to take that scene and now apply it to what I've seen throughout the rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you still have to sit with the rest of what you've seen.
Yeah.
When it got to that scene in the shower where she's...
Yeah, revealing
kind of what she is. Mm-hmm. It's...
Or that she's not human.
That she's not human. Yeah. That she's just... Oh. That she's something else.
And you got more of that coming if you read the book, too.
I think I'm going to continue reading.
It is a beautiful reveal.
Yeah.
This book. God, I wish I could talk more about it, but you can't without spoiling the book. And I do not want to spoil this book at all.
But you can ask me the questions.
So, the two questions. Do you think the first chapter, or say the first three, do you think they work?
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
I think the first chapter itself is a really good short story.
Very true. Yeah. I like to think that authors start with short stories sometime and turn them into bigger books.
Yeah.
I've always liked that thought.
That can be one method of writing. And I also feel like, I think the continuation on with chapter two and into chapter three, it flowed really nicely.
Mm-hmm,
I
think
the language, how it's written is unpretentious.
Yeah, simple.
But also extremely rich and descriptive without being purple.
And then would you keep reading?
Yeah, I'm going to.
Oh, please do. If you want to finish this one up, because you're already on a roll here, finish it up before you read the next Murderbot book. We got a while before the series comes out. Go ahead and switch to something new and then go back to the Murderbot book if you want to.
I'm sure Alexander Skarsgård will forgive me.
I would love to see what you think of Under the Skin. I would love to talk more about it. There's so many things I want to talk about with this book, but I cannot without spoiling it.
Maybe we'll have...
possible.
Maybe we will have a follow-up episode.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, where we could just talk about this book.
We'll prefix the episode very strongly with, there are spoilers. There are huge spoilers. If you have... any interest in reading this amazing book, please do not listen to this episode. Don't worry. Go read it. Come back. It's such an incredible book, but you cannot talk about it without spoiling it.
No.
I think that's a pretty successful episode.
I think we managed to find a book that I liked.
Hey, awesome. I knew we were going to do it eventually.
All right, yeah.
The other ones you didn't hate.
Oh, no, there were quite a few I didn't hate, but I never continued reading this.
No, no. A few of them you said you might have.
Yep.
Oh, very cool. All right.
All right, everyone. Keep reading.
Keep reading. Keep on reading them books. Cracking them open. Crack them. Keep cracking them books open near your face.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to First Chapters, a podcast from Grey Cat Books. Your hosts were Nina McNamara and Engineer Mike. Our music was provided by Alex Productions and Virtua Jams. Check out our website at greycatbooks.com for links to our credits. Thanks again for listening.